Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everyone, on this beautiful Friday afternoon on May 8th, 2020. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com. And for the next hour and 30 minutes in our new expanded 90-minute format, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and your Bible teacher. Today's topic is a continuation of our topic from the Wednesday night radio Bible study, where we are talking about what you can expect to see if you have been left behind after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church takes place. This is a topic that infuriates people. This is a topic that gets Christians mad and angry with each other. And yet it's Bible doctrine. We read about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church in Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. We read about the pre-trib rapture in John 10, John 14. We read about the pre-trib rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 Corinthians 15, and Titus chapter 2. And at about 10 or 12 other places, the Bible is filled, Old and New Testament, with references to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about what you can expect to face and to see if you get left behind, if you don't get taken in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And we're going to talk about some of the qualifications that you need to have in order to be taken in the rapture. It's just one qualification. You have to be saved. You have to be a born-again child of God. And we're going to talk about all that today. We're going to talk about the amazing event that happened here on Wednesday night, and two people, Colby and Donna, prayed to get saved. And we are sending them out Ruckman Reference Bibles so that they can be rooted and grounded in the scripture of truth. And all those things are made possible from you guys. And just thank you and praise you for that, Father God. And so we're going to go to the Lord in prayer now and ask for his blessing. Have lots of news, have lots of things to talk about today, and very glad that you're with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you, Lord, for these that you're assembling, just about 100 in the chat room at 12 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, and that's a blessing, Lord, and I just pray that everybody get what they came for today, Lord, and I pray that you, the ones who were attacking on Wednesday night, we pray for their salvation, or if they're saved, they must be massively backslidden, and we just pray, Lord, that you do a work in their life and restore them to fellowship with you, and Lord, I just ask you to take from my mind anything you don't want me to talk about, and put in my mind the stuff that you do want me to talk about. And we just commit this time to you and ask you to show up, Lord, and give us some truth from your word. We believe every word of it, Lord, even the parts we don't understand, which is a fair amount of them, a lot of it, most of it. But the parts that we do understand, Lord, give us amplified insight and show us how to apply what we know. When you saved me, God, I only knew one verse, John 3:16. This is the only verse I knew, but that was enough. Because when I applied it, you saved me. And I just thank you, Lord, and we just commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. As I told you earlier, and as we talked about on Monday, 60 minutes is really just not enough to do this program. So I asked you guys if you wanted us to expand it from 60 to 90 minutes, and I received some very, excuse me, enthusiastic replies. So we are. This is the new 90-minute format, and we will be taking a break at the bottom of the hour and at the top of the hour, just a little 3-minute song break so I can catch my breath and so my voice doesn't wear out too quickly. But We have. I want you to meet your moderators. If most of you know who these ladies are, but if you look into the chat room, you're going to see a woman by the name of Jeanette. Her handle is Jade Kitty, and you're going to see Lorianne. And these two women are part of Now the End Begins 2.0, and they are part of the core team going forward as the Lord continues to expand our borders. So you will see Lorianne and you will see Jade Kitty, and they are moderators. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to prevent the type of attacks that we experienced on Wednesday night and the type of attacks that we experienced 2 weeks ago. It's hard to believe, right, that we have to have a protection in place to protect us from other Christians who seek to do this ministry harm. I mean, that to me is, it is baffling. But on one hand, it's not, because Jesus said that the last church would be the Laodicean church, lukewarm. Jesus locked outside the door. And that's why Jesus says in Acts chapter, in Revelation chapter 3, and you get down to verse 20, and this lukewarm, useless, miserable, focused on money, rich and increased with goods, do nothing, Laodicean church, Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So that's what you have. The last church is the Laodicean church, and Jesus is locked outside the door. And we use Revelation 3:20 as an invitation for lost people to get saved. And from a devotional and spiritual application, that's exactly right. But from a doctrinal application, Jesus is saying that he is going to be locked outside of the door of his own church that he shed his blood for. And why? Because look at what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch thou, Timothy, in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, to make full proof of thy ministry. So, we can expect to see Christians attacking other Christians who are trying to lead lost people to salvation. And that's exactly the mind-numbing, unbelievable thing that if you were here for the Wednesday night program, man, oh man, you saw something of the end times in the Laodicean church that is just absolutely unbelievable. But we rejoice because Colby and Donna prayed to get saved, and that is such an amazing blessing. And we get to pray for the lost people who claim to be Christians who were trying to stop that. So that's just a slap of the end times for you there. Now, also, I see that a lot of people are chatting as a guest. I see guest Athena and guest Diane, and I see lots of people are chatting as a guest. Did you know that right above this chat room, there is a small little paragraph right under the audio player, and it says, to join this site as a subscriber, click here. And instead of chatting as a guest, we strongly urge everyone to click that link and begin to join this forum as a subscribed user. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. But what that will allow you to do is to have a permanent name that you can chat with, and you can have your photo as an icon so everybody else can see who you are. And I would like to spend the next couple of weeks and have everybody, and I know that's hundreds and hundreds of people, but the website's big, it can take it. I want everybody over the next couple weeks to join this site as a subscriber. Again, it's free. All you have to do is click and sign up. But once you do that, when you come to the chat room, you will no longer be a guest. You will be a subscriber. Now, Lori says that she thinks that having a photo for your icon is vanity. And I understand that, absolutely. But guess what? Having a photo helps us to see who you are. And we are going to take steps to prevent the guest users from taking pot shots. So over the next couple of weeks, we ask you and urge you strongly to register, to subscribe, so that you can sign in and you can have a permanent user name. And just so that you know, even if you're not a regular subscriber, even if you're just chatting here as a guest, this software is still capturing your IP address. So we kind of know who you are anyway. So we do have some systems in place for everybody's safety and everybody's protection. But we would like everyone to be a subscriber. And when enough people have subscribed, then we are going to turn off the ability of guest commentators. And that way we will only have registered subscribers. But that's not going to happen for a couple of weeks or maybe a month or two. We're going to ease into that. I understand everybody is in a different part of the world and all that stuff. So, but that's the goal, and that's what we shall be moving towards. So let's continue with this Friday afternoon podcast. And Carrie says, I am subscribed. I just logged in as a guest today. That's great. But we prefer to have subscribers. And so everybody can see who everybody else is. And look, if you have nothing to hide, why not put a picture? It's not a fashion show. I don't care what you look like. But we want to see who everybody is. And with that sip of coffee, we're ready to get started. Now, we're going to jump right in with the news today because there has been so much stuff going on. Yesterday, we brought you the story that Democrats in the United States Congress are introducing something. It's a bill. And if you remember your PBS programming as a child and all those ditties that told you exactly how a bill, which is a suggestion for a law, becomes a law. A law has to first be introduced as a bill, and then it has to be voted on. And then when it's voted on, a bill becomes law. So the Democrats have introduced House Bill H.R. 6666 to award grants to eligible entities to conduct COVID-19 testing and contact tracing surveillance. Now, here is the actual wording of the bill, and it comes to us today from congress.gov. Congress.gov. As of 5-7-2020, text has not been received for H.R. 6666 to authorize the Secretary of Health and Human Services to award grants to eligible entities to conduct diagnostic testing for COVID-19 and related activities such as contact tracing through mobile health units and as necessary at individuals' residences and for other purposes. So here we have this bill in Congress. It's called H.R. 6666, and it's all about contact tracing. It's all about home surveillance. It's about sending authorized government agents from Health and Human Services to come to your house and to check on you, and if necessary, to remove you if you happen to be sick with the COVID-19 virus. And they could have given it any number that they wanted to give it. They chose to give it H.R. 6666. Now, what would be the significance of giving four sixes to a bill that is before Congress? Well, I think it's safe to say, in our enlightened, woke time that we live in, I think everybody knows what 666 refers to. And I think even the most lost person on the face of the earth is well aware that three sixes is the number of Antichrist. I believe everybody on the face of the earth over, say, the age of 11 or 12 will know and understand that three sixes mean Antichrist. And here we have four sixes, and I guess what? That's to throw people off the track so that if it's four sixes, it has no connection to three sixes? Well, that's just ridiculous, of course. But what I really find interesting about this bill, H.R. 6666, and again, I went to congress.gov to get this information, and it's all real. I'm not making this up. This is not conspiracy theory of any kind. But what's interesting to me about H.R. 6666 is that it is a bill that is going to greatly accelerate the digital surveillance, such as contact tracing, that America is about to be inundated by. And contact tracing, it almost sounds like a friendly term, right? You put contacts in your eyes to see better. We have a contact list on our phone. That's our friends and family. And tracing, you know, when you were a kid, you took a piece of paper and you traced with a pencil. And so contact tracing is not really a very ominous sounding phrase. But make no mistake about it, contact tracing is nothing more and nothing less than digital surveillance of the citizenry. And you are going to see all of America. Once we start coming out of lockdown, we are going to go from lockdown, and it's going to be an immediate step with no break from lockdown into contact tracing, into digital surveillance. Now, we all know that everyone who has a mobile phone, every move that you make, every text you send, every picture you send, every phone call you receive or make is being stored in a place called the Utah Data Center. And I'll put a link into the chat room in just a second. But the Utah Data Center is a place, and it's a massive facility. And when we first told you about the Utah Data Center back in June of 2013, it was the first of its kind. But there are many such data centers now. And not only that, Google. And I'll do a story on this soon. Google's data centers, which keep track of everybody, will absolutely blow your mind when you see how large that they are. Thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of computers. Now, I do see multiple conversations going on in the chat room about Moses and the two witnesses. If we could keep the comments centered on what we're talking about at the time, and if you have a question, please put that into the chat room as in the form of a question, And I will do my best to answer that for you. But I really need to have everybody focused, and so that would be great. But if you have questions, just put the questions into the chat room, and then that will be part of the current conversation. I just want everybody to get the largest benefit from this program as possible. Thank you so, so, so much. So the Utah Data Center, and I put the link into the chat room, at the time, it was a 1 million square foot facility, and this is what it does, is it keeps track of every phone call, every text message, every picture message, everything that is sent and received on digital devices. Now, in 2013, the Utah Data Center was the first of its kind. And again, there are many such data centers now. So most of that happened because of the Patriot Act back in 2001 and following after 9/11. And everybody was so up in arms about the Patriot Act, and then it got passed, and then people got tired talking about it, and then people forgot about it. But guess what? The Patriot Act never went away. The Patriot Act has been renewed every time it's come up for a vote. Obama renewed it. Bush renewed it. You know, Trump renewed it. Everybody has renewed the Patriot Act. And what does the Patriot Act say? It says that the government can keep tabs on your phone calls, your text messages, your picture messages. It can store these things for an indefinite period of time. It can arrest you for simply suspecting that you're a terrorist. It can hold you without a lawyer. And they can hold you for years and years and years and years with no lawyer, with no trial, with no nothing. Now, that's the Patriot Act. That was 18 years ago. What's happening with COVID-19 is going to take everything that the Patriot Act started, and then now they're going to add to this a very intense web of digital surveillance. Now, Stephen is asking, will Silver Draft computing be used as part of this? Absolutely, Stephen. Silver Draft is a company that we told you about, this company a few weeks ago. And again, it's one of these things that is straight from the Book of Revelation. It is straight from a Left Behind novel. And at the time we told you, Silver Draft Computing, supercomputing company, powers media and entertainment industry with demonically inspired computers and virtual reality. So here we have a company called Silver Draft, and take a look at the corporations that use their services: CBS, NBC, Fox, Disney, Activision, ESPN, GoPro, General Atomics, Solar Turbines, Caterpillar, and the list goes on and on and on and on. Now, if you look at that graphic that I put into the chat room, it says the power of the devil, the Demon Ultra workstation. That's their marketing. I didn't write that. That's their marketing. And if you go to their website, their Silver Draft website, you will see that it is one of the most satanic things that you will ever see outside of a group that is openly connected with the Church of Satan. Everything that they say, they call their workstations demons and devils. They talk about Silver Draft as being the power of the devil. And why would they choose that? Why would the Democrats choose HR 6666? They could have called it 1234. They could have called it 7777. How come nobody likes to use triple sevens? Now, we use triple sevens. What are we always talking about here? We're always talking about our upcoming flight on flight777.com. I like that name so much that I bought the URL. And there you go. There's flight777.com. And I also got a website called Titus213airlines.com. And of course, these sites, these little one-page sites, they all refer back to nowtheendbegins.com. But here at Now the End Begins, we love to use triple sevens because the seven is a number of God's fullness and God's completeness. But why don't you ever see the world? How come no computer company has ever made a computer called the Angel 777? How come no computer company has ever said, use our services and we'll put the power of seven to work for you? Every time these companies, these people talk about sixes, they talk about 13, lucky 13. And the list goes on and on, and it's just crazy. So Stephen had asked, will the Silver Draft company be part of this contact tracing system? Absolutely, because they make virtual reality, augmented reality. They use artificial intelligence, and that is the new wave of the future, which brings us to our next story today. And I posted this right before airtime, and I really didn't even get much of a chance to chew on it, but this one is right on the same page as what we're talking about. And here's the headline for you. Here's the headline. The headline says, a portal between the simulated digital world of your devices and your actual everyday reality is close to completion in this COVID-19 new normal world. And so as it turns out, people have been working in Silicon Valley and in Hollywood. They have been working on a portal that will connect what you see on your screen with what you see. For example, I'm doing this program now from my home studio, and I'm looking at multiple computer monitors that happen to be on the top of my desk. But, and that's my digital reality, is what I see on the screen. But my actual reality is when I look around my room and I see the door and the walls and the window and the table and the lamps and the carpet on the floor. That's my actual reality. So how creepy is it that they have hundreds and hundreds of people right now working on this multi-million dollar project to create a portal so that when you sit at your desk with your digital device, it merges the physical reality of the room that you're in. Now, of course, if you know what transhumanism is, that's exactly what we're talking about. We are talking transhumanism is the merging of human beings with computers, right? And this is going to be the Mark of the Beast system. Lori just said it's a portal to hell. Diane says very creepy. And that's exactly what's happening. But guess what? Why do you think that the whole world was taken offline, and we've been offline here in America? We've been offline for 2 months already, okay? Here in Florida, we started lockdown around March 16th or March 17th. It's May 8th right now. So we've been on lockdown for 7 months. Gabby says, could it be a big deception? Well, that's why they locked everything down, Gabby. They locked everything down because they're putting this new system into place. Have you ever seen like a shopping center or a mall, maybe in your hometown, and they reach the point where they want to take the mall and they want to change it into something new? They want to expand it. They want to really, you know, jazz it up and make it different. Well, what do? They put the mall on lockdown and they put the tape around it so you can't get in. And then while that mall on the outside is on lockdown, on the inside, the workers are busy building the new system. That's exactly what they're doing with this global lockdown. Yes, The coronavirus is a real virus. 73,000 people in America have died in the last 2 months. 270,000 people worldwide have died. It's a real virus, and you have to protect yourself. But it's a real virus that is being used to bring in the new world order. And that's a fact, and that's exactly what's happening right now. All right, we're going to take a quick 3-minute break, and we'll be right back with the new 90-minute expanded format. Enjoy this song, recorded live in 2010 at the Pensacola Bible Institute in Pensacola, Florida. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. If you're saved today, that's how it happened. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And that's exactly how you get saved in the church age. Now, for those of you who have not yet subscribed to our free subscription service, we encourage everyone to join our NTEB free subscription service. And all you have to do is just click that link that I put into the chat room, or you can go to nowtheendbegins.com and you can click on the tab that says subscribe, and it's free, and you will receive notices in your email of every program that we do, of every article that we publish, and you will get it first. And we have, well, over 15,000 people on our mailing list, and we would love to add your name to that list. So right before the break, we were talking about a portal between the simulated digital world of your devices and your actual everyday reality is close to completion. Now, it says here, the development of mirror worlds is accelerating during COVID-19 as Hollywood increases its virtual production, says Magnopus co-founder and CEO Ben Grossman, one of THR's top Hollywood innovators. And I ask this question. Think about your smartphones, tablets, pads, laptops, whatever you call them. The whole world is connected on digital devices that run apps for every function imaginable, including buying and selling, like the Mark of the Beast from Revelation 13. Have you ever looked up the word devices in your King James Bible? The word devices, the same word that we use for our phones and laptops and pads and tablets, that same word devices appears 16 times in the King James Bible, and every time, without fail, it is mentioned in a negative context. It is connected to evil and wickedness, with the majority of those 16 references speaking out directly about Antichrist in the time of Jacob's trouble, and one reference is it refers to Satan directly. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So here we have the people in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley, and the tech people, the tech gurus, the people who are the Thomas Edison and the Nikolai Tesla of our day. They have hundreds and hundreds of people right now, and have been for years, working on something that they call a telepresence for physical people and digital people. And that's exactly what the COVID-19 new reality is going to bring to pass. It is going to be a telepresence where the real world and the digital world is going to have less and less separation until finally the two worlds will be merged together. And this is exactly where we see everything going. You know, prior to 1994, I really didn't know much about computers. I didn't own one. My mom had gotten an Apple IIe computer because she was a librarian, and she got giving teachers a discount. And so she bought one of these Apple IIe computers back in 1983, 84, 85, and it had a green screen and it didn't do very much. And I got bored with it pretty quickly. So I just kind of forgot all about computers. But then in 1994, with the computer revolution and when the internet came out and the whole world got connected, can you believe that's 26 years ago that happened? 26 years ago. But when the internet first launched, I had been a Bible believer for about 12 or 13 years. And I was really just starting to get into understanding prophecy. And the second that I saw the internet, God said to me, "What does that look like to you?" And I said, "Well, Lord, it kind of looks like the mark of the beast." And he says, exactly right. And here we are 26 years later. How does almost everybody do their banking? Well, you do it through an app on your phone, or you go to a website on your desktop or laptop computer. phones and devices and things and apps have gotten so sophisticated that you can literally do just about everything. And that's the world that we live in now. So when the Lord asked me 26 years ago, what does the internet look like, in my opinion, from my perspective, well, it looked to me 26 years ago like the mark of the beast. And here we are a quarter century plus later, and not only does it look like the mark of the beast, it is absolutely the framework on which the mark of the beast system is going to exist. And now I see a lot of people talking in the chat room about logging in. The chat room is going to stay open after the program is over. So if you guys need help with logging in, Lori and Jeanette will be available after the program's over, and you can worry about getting logged in at that time. So please save that for when the show is over. The chat room is not going to close. I'll keep it open, and you guys can figure that stuff out, and Lori and Jeanette will be very, very happy to help anybody who needs some help. Thank you very much. So this guy, Ben Grossman, in this article from The Hollywood Reporter, it says here, he is a three-time Oscar winner, and he founded a tech company called Magnopus, and he's been an innovator in areas like virtual reality, augmented reality, and artificial intelligence. Combining these three things opens up the potential to create what he calls a new kind of movie theater, or a fully immersive environment. He says this, "We've been working on creating a digital twin of a very large site that's a few kilometers square so that it will exist both in a physical world and it will exist in a digital world that people can have access to physically and digitally." And then he says, "It's almost like a telepresence for physical people and digital people." Now, doesn't this sound like, remember back in the 1990s and we would read like the Left Behind books and you would see the movies like Revelation Apocalypse 2 with the Day of Wonders, right? Remember that? They put the headset on in 1999, and what do they see? They see the Mark of the Beast, and they see Antichrist, and they can't get out of that digital world until they either accept or reject the Mark of the Beast. And back in 1999, that really had no chance of that coming true based on the technology level. It was just like a dream. It was just like a far-flung thought someday in, you know, four or five generations down the road, they'll have that. But here we are 22 years later, and they're almost done with it. So these things that we have long read about and dreamt about and thought about, could these things actually happen within our day? Well, I'm here to tell you that these things actually are happening in our day. And they're real. And we are on the absolute precipice of going into a world that from 20 years ago would seem like complete and total fantasy, and yet that's the world that we live in right now, and that's the world that they are trying to create by having us all locked down with the COVID-19 pandemic, and this is what they're doing. If you don't think that the world governments have been very, 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 very busy during all this, then you're not paying attention. And they haven't been all that busy trying to stop COVID-19. What they've been really busy with is they've been very, very busy trying to put the framework together for this new digital New World Order. And that's exactly what's coming. And on some levels, it's already here. Gabby had a question. She had a question about an article that we did a couple of days ago. And this is the title: Shock, as it's revealed an enzyme called luciferase is what makes Bill Gates' implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccine delivery system work. And we showed you some amazing, amazing things in this article. I mean, you talk about causing a stir. This article caused an absolute viral stir all across the world, to the point where even the people at the CDC and the WHO, at that level, they are now talking about luciferase. But look at the picture that I just put into the chat room. I want you to look at it. On the left-hand side is what a listener, Matt, he figured out on his lunch break, that you take the phrase human implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccination delivery system and remove the word human and then figure out the numeric value of all those letters, it adds up to 666. And then, of course, the images on the right-hand side is the glow that you see weeks and weeks and months after someone receives the quantum dot vaccination. And David says, not many Christians know about this. Well, let me tell you something, David. That's right. Not a lot of them do. But hundreds of thousands of Christians who didn't know about this before we did this article, they know about it now, because hundreds of thousands of people have read this article and shared this article since May 3rd when we published it. Brother Terry says, advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And that's a quote from a man by the name of Arthur C. Clarke. Jeanette says it's supposed to be scannable for 5 years. That is true. They have done tests and it will last. That scan will last for five years. But you know what? It only has to last for 3.5 years. The Bible says that the time of the great tribulation will be a time, times, and half a time. And that's where we are, people. That is absolutely where we are. We are on we are in a time period where the entire world has been placed on lockdown so that the New World Order can bring in the Mark of the Beast system. And that's exactly what we are seeing today. We are seeing a Mark of the Beast system. And look, I have been saying this for a couple of months now, and I'll say it again, and I will argue with anybody who says differently. We are absolutely looking at the Mark of the Beast system right now. Now, we can debate. We can debate, and it's a healthy debate. We can debate about the actual Mark of the Beast, and that's fine. But in terms of the Mark of the Beast system, in which the mark is it's the key part of it, but it is not the only part of it. And if you look in, turn to Revelation 13 for a minute. And have you ever wondered why these two things are the absolute platform of the Mark of the Beast? It says in Revelation 13, 16 and 17, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. It's about buying and selling. What was the internet designed to do? It was primarily designed as an economic measure to connect people, to buy stuff, to sell stuff, and to conduct all manner of financial transactions. That's exactly what the internet, when it was released, now, I said it was invented in 1968. Someone corrected me. It was invented in 1969, and that's fine. But suffice to say that since the late 1960s, the internet has existed, but mostly only to colleges, universities, school systems, and the governments. And they were the ones that were primarily using it in its pre-internet form. And then the internet, if you remember Al Gore and Bill Clinton talking about in the information superhighway that was coming, well, that's what it was. It was the information superhighway of the internet. And now that's here. It's been here for 26 years. And the entire world, bar none, has reconfigured themselves around the internet. Lori says, do I put much credence into the 70 to 80 year rebirth of Israel, inclusive of the time of Jacob's trouble? On May 14th, Israel, as you know, will be celebrating 72 years being regathered. Now, I am not aware of any prophecy that is going to include the seven-year time of Jacob's trouble within an 80-year timeline with the regathering of the nation of Israel. If you have a link, you can send me that link. But I have never seen anything like that. But I do know this. I do know that the fact that Israel was regathered in the springtime. Solomon says that the rapture of the church will likely take place in the springtime. Jesus returns at the second coming during the Feast of Trumpets, which takes place in the fall. And I know that it's the fact that Israel has been regathered, that is the fig tree reblooming. And so we are right where we need to be with all these things. Stephen says there's a lot of non-Christians awakening us to this. Do you think that there might be a global revolt? It's quite possible. But the New World Order has already prepared for that. And that is why they are using COVID-19. Think about it, Stephen. By standing behind this COVID-19 pandemic and using it as a Trojan horse, it's a real virus. People really die from it. People really get sick from it. But they're using this thing as a Trojan horse so that all they have to do, it's kind of like the United States after 9/11. All they had to do to justify any nasty thing that they wanted to do is simply say, well, hey, we are just doing this to prevent terrorism. And everybody still had those images of the World Trade Center coming down and all those things. And so all they had to do was, well, if you don't let us do such and such, we're going to run a risk of another 9/11. And next time it's going to be worse. And they used that for years and years and years and years. And now they don't need it now. That's why you don't hear anything. When's the last time you read a story about Muslim terrorism? It's been a long time, hasn't it? Have the Muslims stopped terrorism? No, they haven't. But the media doesn't report on it because the New World Order no longer needs that to restrict our freedoms and to take away things and to put all this monitoring and devices and all these things. Now they have switched from, well, we have this war on terror. What did Trump say? Trump called it a war against an invisible enemy. Now ask yourself this question. If you're a intelligent, smart thinking person, how do you win a war against an invisible enemy that you can't see, that you can't find? How is that possible to win that war? The answer is, it's not possible to win that war. And so for the last 20 years, 19 years, they have used the threat of Muslim terrorism as a means by which they take away our freedoms, the way that we board planes, the way that we travel, from country to country. Everything was reconfigured around the Patriot Act in America after 9/11. Now, they don't need that now. Now everything is going to be, well, you have to wear this contact tracing device because if you don't, COVID-19 is going to come back and more people are going to die. So for the next couple of years, if we're still here, you are going to hear story after story and politician after politician, conservative, liberal, it doesn't matter. They're all the same. And you are going to hear politicians and lawmakers endlessly saying, we have to pass this bill, and if we don't, COVID-19 is going to come back. Now, Kerry says, we are already in a police state in Canada. The prime minister just banned many guns of owners. If you were paying attention in the beginning days of the lockdown of the COVID-19 thing, you will notice that the first thing that they did is they closed the churches and they opened the liquor stores. They closed the gun stores and they opened up the abortion clinics. That should tell you everything that you need to know about who is behind what is going on. They closed the churches, they opened the liquor stores. And what did they say about when they opened the liquor stores? We are doing it because it is essential business. Who on earth would think that a liquor store is essential during a time of global pestilence? The last thing that you need is alcohol in your system, which is going to lower your ability to fight bacteria and virus. TJ just said the marijuana shops never closed, but they closed the health food stores. They closed the vitamin shops. They closed the restaurants where you get food, but you can buy all the booze you want. Why is that? That is because this is the new normal, and this is what you're going to see. So look, what they're counting on is they've kept everybody locked down for 7, 8, 9 weeks, and maybe sometime towards the end of this month, America is going to lift the restrictions. It's already beginning to happen in some states. I'm already here in St. Augustine in Florida. I'm already seeing some businesses starting to reopen up. The restaurants have not opened up yet for the seating on the inside. But even after everything opens back up, if you think that this is going away, you're out of your mind. Not only is it not going away, they're going to make you take a vaccine. They're going to make you take a digital ID. They're going to make you wear a contact tracing device, even if it's something that's on your phone. You and I, within 3 or 4 weeks, 6 weeks tops, there will be a contact tracing device built into your mobile devices. That is a guarantee that will happen. They are rolling out that software within a couple of weeks. And that is happening. So, this is what they're doing. It's a real virus that was hijacked and it became a Trojan horse. And that's exactly what is happening right now. Now, we're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, the last half an hour is we are going to spend exclusively on what will happen if you get left behind. When we come back in 3.5 minutes, the last half an hour will be devoted exclusively to what the world will be like if you find yourself here after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church has left you behind. Don't go away. It may be the most important half hour you'll ever hear. We'll be right back.
There was a mountain, and there man called Barabbas was doomed for that tree, but Jesus took that middle cross and Barabbas went free.
I love that man in the middle, because I know that he first loved me. Praise to the man who died on Mount Calvary,
the middleman made possible that I might go free. A hill called Golgotha, the place of a skull. No yellow flowers, no trees in bloom, the scenery was dull. Three crosses stood black and bold against the darkened sky. It was not from pain, but a broken heart, that middle man died.
I love that man in the middle, because I know that he first loved me. Died on Mount Calvary,
the middleman made possible that I might go free. Yes, that middleman made it possible
that I might go free. Go free.
Bible says that Jesus became a curse for us. He that knew no sin became sin for me and you. That's what he did on the cross. Jesus was the most sin-filled man that ever existed. But sinful? No, sir. Not one ounce, not one drop. Jesus never said, I'm sorry. Jesus never apologized. Why? Because he never did anything that he would have to apologize for. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He's a sinless Savior. And only a sinless Savior can save your soul. And the Bible says that this perfect, righteous, innocent Lamb was filled with the sins of the world. That's my sin and your sin. And that's what was put on his back when he went to the cross 2,000 years ago for me and you. All right, I promised you right before the break that the last half an hour would be devoted exclusively towards this is what will happen if you have been left behind. Now, one of the things that shows me beyond the shadow of any doubt of any kind that the pre-tribulation rapture is true, and it's exactly what the Bible teaches, is because I see so many Christians, so-called, who are trying to steal the blessed hope. Titus 2:13, Paul says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When I see so many people who call themselves Christians trying to talk other Christians out of the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, I know that it's real and that it's true. And the devil is raising up weak lukewarm Laodicean Christians to steal the blessed hope from other people. Now, the Bible says in John 14, verse 29, Jesus is talking and he says, "And now I have told you before that it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." Jesus says that in John 14, 29. He's saying, "I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." So, here is the scenario. I'm going to be the narrator, and I'm going to have an imaginary conversation with somebody who was left behind. And this is how I imagined. I wrote this article on January 15, 2016. But here is, I thought of my brothers, John, Jimmy, and David, who are unsaved. And I thought about if I could leave them a message after leaving in the pre-tribulation rapture, what would I want to tell my own brothers? Do you remember in Luke chapter 16, when the rich man dies and goes to hell, and Lazarus dies and he goes to Abraham's bosom? And what did the rich man say? He says, "I pray thee therefore, Father Abraham," from Luke 16, 27, "that thou wouldst send him," Lazarus, "to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Abraham saith unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." So I began to imagine a conversation that I might have with my own brothers, maybe an aunt or an uncle. I began to imagine what it would be like if I could leave a message for people who were left behind after we leave in the pre-trib rapture. And this is what I wrote back in 2016. And here I am as the narrator, and I'm talking to somebody who was left behind, and it goes like this. "Well, we told you that it was coming. I don't know, maybe you were a casual reader of this site but never really got involved. Maybe you thought there were too many religious nuts," you said. "Maybe you had a family member who would plead with you night after night to get right with Jesus before his return." "Nah, never happened," you said. "People been saying that for 2,000 years. That's nonsense." But it wasn't nonsense, was it? Turns out the religious nuts were right after all. The pre-tribulation rapture of the church actually happened. Now we are gone, and you remain, left behind. I can only imagine the shock and the terror and the panic and the questions that must be running through your head right now. My heart breaks for you. And that's why I wrote this article, to get you through what the Bible calls the time of Jacob's trouble with the great tribulation. And it's only moments away from starting. Are you ready for what comes next? Well, let's begin at the beginning. Here is what just happened to you. The rapture was the hope of every born-again Jesus follower. Prior to the rapture, that one day Jesus would return and catch away those who loved and believed in him. Now, why did we think that a pre-tribulation rapture was going to occur? Because the Bible says so. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And guess what? That's exactly what happened. And that's where we've gone. Yeah, I know. I know the media. I know that they are trying to spin this thing any way that they can. UFOs, alien abductions, a harmonic convergence, a government program, maybe like Project Bluebeam, FEMA camps, cosmic shift, wormholes, and the list goes on and on and on and on. But you know, none of those explanations really satisfy you, do they? I mean, think about it. Hundreds and hundreds of millions of people suddenly gone. Could any one government, no matter how corrupt, really process that many people in the blink of an eye? You know they can't. That's not what happened. You know better than that. In the book of Revelation, what happened to John in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, is what has now happened to all of us who are gone. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, saying, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Man, that's wild, isn't it? Yeah, we all heard that sound of a trumpet, that voice that sounds just like a trumpet sound. And we were pulled up into the clouds to be with the Lord Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach himself. That's what happened, and that's where we are right now with Jesus. Take a little moment and let that really, truly, actually, wonderfully sink into your mind right now. Remember how we always talked about the blessed hope? The rapture was the blessed hope. And now here we stand, you and I, galaxies apart from each other, with a great gulf fixed. What God has declared will be so, will be so. Amen. Now, I know your next question, and you're wondering why did you get left behind, and people like me and others didn't? It's not fair, you exclaim. Maybe you were a churchgoer. Maybe you were a good and moral person. Maybe you like to do good deeds. Maybe you were a deacon in your church. All these things are good, but unfortunately, not nearly good enough. You want to see how God sees you and me and all of us? Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone each to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. The Bible says that man of and by himself can never be and will never be good enough to get into the Father's presence in heaven. We have all sinned against a just and holy and sinless God. So why, you ask again, if it's true that all of us are in this condition, why did we go up and why did you stay behind? We're gone now because we put our trust and faith in the one, the only one, who has the true power to forgive sin, and that's Jesus Christ. He shed his blood once and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Romans 5, 8 through 10 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And that's exactly what happened. We are removed from the wrath of the time of Jacob's trouble, and you are left behind. That's why we're gone and you remain. We weren't better than you. And on a lot of levels, we were worse than you. You and I had equal sin that needed cleansing and forgiving. But the difference is we got saved and you didn't. And even after we got saved, the Bible said, 1 John 1:9, says that if we need to restore fellowship when we sin after getting saved, 1 John 1:9 tells us that there is a way that we can restore that fellowship, not to get saved again, but to restore that fellowship. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what we did. You were left behind because your debt's still not paid. But there's good news for you. Right now, right in front of your computer screen as you're reading this, you can have all your debt paid for. Ready? This is what you want to do. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's Romans 10, 9 and 10. Ask the Lord to save you. Romans 10, 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if you meant that, if you were sincere, if you now see your true sinful condition, the Bible says, if you ask God to save you, then you're saved. But now you have a problem that we didn't have. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12 says that God is going to send you a strong delusion because you didn't receive the gospel while you had time before the rapture. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Since we're not here, I have no idea how to advise you about the strong delusion other than to say this. God is very merciful to all those who call upon him. David in Psalm 51 received forgiveness when he didn't deserve to receive it because he threw himself on God's mercy. And that's what David did. But now you have another problem on top of that. The Bible says in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. What you're about to go through right now is a 7-year period. You're going to have the first 3.5 years are going to be a time of false peace and false safety and false prosperity. Don't believe it for a second, because that is going to come from the Antichrist. And the vast majority of the world is going to believe that Antichrist is Jesus Christ. Don't accept anything that he offers. Don't take his food. Don't take his drink. If you read in the book of Daniel, you'll see that Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they didn't want anything that Nebuchadnezzar offered them. They didn't want the food. They didn't want the drink. They didn't want anything associated with Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar was a type of Antichrist. So not only is God going to send you a strong delusion, you also have to watch out and not take the mark of the beast. John MacArthur falsely has told people for the last 7 years that people in the time of Jacob's trouble and the tribulation could take the mark of the beast and God would forgive them for it. God will not forgive you for it. If you take the mark of the beast, it's over. There will be nothing that will save you at that point. And how do I know that? Because Revelation 14, 9 through 12 gives us the fate of anyone who takes the mark of the beast. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, because here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Do not take the mark of the beast. There is no it is the unforgivable sin in the time of Jacob's trouble. Don't take it. I can't say that any more strongly than I am telling it to you right now. Do not take the mark of the beast. So now what? Here you find yourself in the time of Jacob's trouble. What happens now? This is all that I can say to you. Study the Bible every day, many times per day. Pray to God. Share the gospel that the Lord gives to you with as many people as possible. Make sure that no one you know, saved or unsaved, takes the mark of the beast. They will be doomed forever to hell if they do. No exceptions. In the church age, we were sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 1:12-14. But you are not. In the time of Jacob's trouble, there will be no eternal security. You can lose it if you do not, if you take the mark of the beast. That's why Jesus says that they that shall endure until the end shall be saved. You have got to endure to the end of this time, because if you don't, if you take the mark or the name or the number or worship the beast in his image, you will have lost. You will be in hell, and there will be no way out. These verses apply to you, Hebrews 6:4-6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Your faith must be mixed with the works of not taking the mark of the beast and not having anything to do with Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, or the dragon. And that's really all that I can tell you. And that's what I would say to somebody who is left behind after the rapture of the church. That and much, much, much more is what, if you miss the rapture, the scenario that I just described to you is exactly what's going to happen. And you need to make sure. Now, there's only one qualification. There's only one qualification that you need to make sure that you don't miss the rapture. You've got to be saved. You got to be born again. If you are a born-again child of God, when you hear that trumpet sound, that voice that sounds like a trumpet, then you'll be taken up into the clouds in a moment. 1 Corinthians 15 says this. You want to know what the rapture is going to look like, what it's going to feel like? 1 Corinthians 15 says this about the pre-tribulation rapture. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lori has a question. She says, do you think besetting sins are coming back on those truly born-again believers as the hour is late? That's possible, Lori. It's possible from the perspective that as we get closer and closer to the time of the pre-tribulation rapture, the pressure to sin and to do wrong and to fall is going to get higher and higher and higher. And just like we saw Wednesday night, where we had Christians who were trying to stop other Christians from praying to get saved. That is absolutely unprecedented. And what those people did in trying to stop Colby and Donna from getting saved, that is absolutely sin. There is no question about it. But even after you become born again, when you go through times of great stress, that's when you really have to make sure that you're surrounding yourself with good, godly people, that you're removing temptations from yourself, and you are trying to live cleanly and rightly for the Lord as best as you're able to do that. And should you sin and should you fall, then to immediately, as soon as you're aware of it, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We all fall and we all sin and we all struggle. Now, there are some of us that put on a show and they wear a mask and they want to make you think that they're holy and they never fall and they never sin, but that's not true. The pastor of your church struggles with sin on a daily basis. Everybody, all of us, struggle with sin and temptation and drugs and alcohol and fornication and foul language and watching bad things and pornography and all those things. We all struggle with those things. But if we put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ and ask God to give us the victory, he will give us the victory. And I have seen people who were hardcore alcoholics who were able to get the victory over alcohol. I have seen people get victory over pornography and smoking and marijuana and drugs and foul language and lying and cheating and stealing and blaspheming and all the things that God says are sin. You know, the Bible says, be very careful. If you think you stand, you're about to fall. And when you see a brother and a sister fall, be patient, be kind, help them to get back on their feet. Paul says that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. If you're not trying to reconcile people who have fallen, then you're on the side of Satan. The Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And we don't ever want to be on his side. So if you see a brother or sister fall, be kind to them and help them up and get them back on their spiritual feet and do what you can do to make sure that they can get back into fellowship with the Lord. Don't be a hindrance. Be a blessing to people. Be a blessing to people. Well, we've come to the end of our time for today. I hope this show was a blessing to you. Please take out a moment and make sure that you sign up for our completely free subscription service. And when you do that, you will receive email notifications of every show, every program, every Bible study, every podcast, and every article that we do on the news of the end times that will come right to your inbox as soon as it happens. So it's free, it's a great service, and we highly recommend that you take advantage of that. Thank you very much for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed this broadcast, and Lord willing, we will see you right back here this Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another exciting edition of the NTEB Radio Bible Study. Have a great weekend, everybody.